Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 369, all stanzas. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord in one another's joy delight and dwell in sweet accord. 1 through 3 of Psalter 369. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thy word is full, and we may be gathered under this administration thereof, so that there is no beginning and no end for us of the instruction that is to be received out of thy word, the things that are necessary for the soul, being in the foreground set forth for us and for our children, that state and condition wherein we have been born, and that from which we must be delivered through that one name that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And though we have in ourselves no need felt, thou who art the first one in the life of thy church, thou who art the sovereign King, thou who wilt gather thy church, wilt thou be the first one in the life of each and every one of us. For it will never be able to be said of by thy church that we have departed from an evil lust of the flesh, and that we have departed from our way that we have chosen in paradise, that we have raised ourselves unto spiritual life, that we have merited the salvation of our soul, and that we have believed unto salvation. Lord, then it will be a church that will glorify and magnify a one-sided work of thee. It will be a church that will say, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. A church that will be united, united in their knowledge of self, and united in their hope and expectation, and united in an eternal song of Moses and the Lamb. Lord, then add those things first being set before us in thy holy word, for our instruction, what is that one thing that is needful, that we may be given to take heed to that instruction, and that thou may bring it in our souls, that we may not receive it alone in our minds. Also by the instruction that we receive from our forefathers out of thy word. Lord, that thou may sanctify and bless that word. And wilt thou also look upon us in all those matters, and that have to do with this life, and that are for the good and welfare of each one of us as travelers together in the wilderness of this world, wherein if left to ourselves, we would destroy one another in our love to self, in our hatred to thee and to our neighbor. But Lord, so thy church has not learned Christ as we read it in thy word. Oh, that we may have the foundation planted within us, and that also the fruit may be evident in our life, in our hearts, in the midst of one another, within our church, within our community. And that thou may draw us as one in union with thy dear Son, that we may have a need also for one another, that we may be in help unto one another, and in honest dealing with the souls of one another, and concerning our walk in this world, that the need of the soul before thee may make us honest, and that we may flee from vanity, from sin, from worldliness in our walk and in our talk and conversation. Lord, wilt thou bind that one thing needful upon the hearts of each and every one? And wilt thou draw us by thy Spirit? To that end, wilt thou also feed thy people? For when there is drought, when the rain of thy Spirit is not sent forth, then the savor goeth not forth from thy church. And all is external and all is superficial and all is so cold and in an external way dead. But Lord, thy church can never die. Oh, that thou may revive thy church in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy, and wilt thou stir them up to a living faith? Oh, that they also may have a mouth that may speak in the midst of us, that their words may be weighty with matter, and that it may send forth a savor in our midst to make jealous of that blessed portion. Lord, that thou may so look upon us as a congregation and a community, that thou may send forth thy Spirit as thou didst so many years ago, in a rich measure. Do look upon all the children and the youth. Look on them in the last days and weeks of school. Wilt thou give further what is necessary to finish the labors, strength to the teachers, and diligence unto the students. And may thy Spirit's blessing rest upon the labors that are put forth in that place. And Lord, that thou may make us also to be faithful as parents, and not to leave the education of our children in the hands of others, but that the responsibility may be felt that it is our own, that we may take it seriously, especially the responsibility to bring them up in the fear and in the nurture of Thee, and that we may be given to educate them and to warn them from following in the ways and the paths of sin and from walking upon that broad way that leadeth unto destruction. Lord, look upon the young people that will travel in this week unto the Netherlands. Wilt thou give them safety over all their ways? Wilt thou keep them when they are away from their homes and bring them safely back again at thy appointed time? And wilt thou make this journey also to be profitable for them? Wilt thou look upon all the youth and the children? And wilt thou look upon all that are in need of Thee in special ways in this life? Look on all widows, widowers, and orphans, all that are handicapped and all that are afflicted with serious diseases, all known by Thee, all in Thy providence, all governed. And Lord, it is to a certain end, that it may not be for our destruction, but that it may be a savor of life unto life in the things of this time and for a never-ending eternity. Lord, look on us. Look on all Thy truly sent servants, that Thou may help them in their places on Thy Sabbath each time again. Look upon our sister congregation also that has sent a call unto one of Thy servants. Oh, could it please Thee to go with that call, and that Thou may send him over to help. For Thou knowest the need, O Lord, that Thou may supply, and that Thou may bless also with Thy blessing. Wilt Thou send forth more servants into Thy vineyard, that it may be in the days in which we live with our children, that Thy word may not be cut off from being preached, that Thou would look upon us as a nation also, that Thou may keep us from going in our own ways. And wilt Thou turn us to Thy law and to Thy testimonies? Be with all that are at war, all that serve in warfare, all those that are missionaries, all those that are in places of authority. Lord, remember and help, as Thou alone art able. Be with us in this afternoon hour. Be on our right hand and on our left in the preaching of Thy word, that it may stand in the foreground, and that Thou may give us all together instruction, that we may be edified by the power of Thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 174, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim His praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. And Thou, Lord, hast proved and tested us, as silver tried by fire. Thy hand has made our burden great and thwarted our desire. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 174. Congregation, the Tower of Babel has brought much misery in this world, so that we are no longer able to understand one another because of the multitude of languages which are spoken in this world. More and more, we see, however, how that the English language that becomes, it seems, a world language. What is to stop man in the propagation of evil when he is entirely able to communicate with each other? We have seen how that the Lord has restrained that evil by prohibiting this communication for so very, very many years. But now, towards the end of the world, we see how that this barrier to communication, and that is broken down, and that with coming together of the languages and also with the technology, that evil heart of man is propagated to no limits. So we see one of the means that is going to be used for the destruction of a man in this world. We see that this is also a means whereby it is likely that there comes a world government and one world religion. However, no matter how man is able to communicate with one another in this world, they will never be able to understand the language of the true Church of God. That is a language which is separate from the language of this world and is not understood because the matters that are spoken, they are not received by that spiritual man. But it is a language which is indeed understood by one another. And therefore, we confess Sabbath after Sabbath, I believe the communion of the saints. And this, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider together in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 21, question 55. Lord's Day 21, question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer first, that all and every one who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So far, our Lord's Day, the communion of saints. First, the basis of this communion, and second, the practice of this communion. Communion of saints, first the basis, second the practice of this communion. I believe the communion of saints. That is the article that our fathers are discussing and our instructors ask, what do you understand by the communion of saints. That means that there are different understandings of this article. The communion of saints. What is a saint? There is also different understanding what a saint is. Children, young people in the Roman Catholic Church, and they believe that a saint is someone who is extra good, one that is very holy and that has what are called supererogatory good works. That means that he has more good works than he needs for himself, for his own salvation, and that those good works, they are able to be transferred unto other people who have not sufficient. Thus, a saint. We read of no such thing in the Bible, but a saint in the Bible is another word for the true church, that is, for God's true people. They are not persons who have an extra store of good works. No, it is just the opposite. They are persons who need themselves to be forgiven. They are persons who remain, as the Apostle Paul says, with a law in their members, not a good law, no, a bad law, a bad rule, a rule of an old man, a heart that is always seeking after those things which are evil. Thus, they are far from sinless, and yet militant, that is, fighting against sin, saint. The word meaning actually holy, or to be set apart. And called saints in three aspects. First, not because of a self-holiness, no, but because of imputation. That is, because holiness is imputed unto them. That means because holiness is written on their account before God. That is in the first place. So it is a people who are indeed holy. In the second place, we read that they have a small beginning of holiness. That is, a small beginning of true obedience to that law of God. There is in that new man a desire, not a carrying out in its completion, no, but there is a longing that was not there before, a longing that is not in the old man, but a desire that exists in the heart of that new man, a desire to be holy, holy, to be set apart. They are in the third place, considered holy, set apart by their effectual calling. That is, in regeneration, when a person is given life from the dead, then he is set apart. No, not outside of the visible church, not in distinction from all the rest in the visible church, but in the sight of God, set apart. They are those who are called. and that are set apart by God Himself, those who are given by Him a new life. Thus, saint. Separation, set apart. Our instructors define that word saint as one who believes, first, that all and everyone who believes. Thus, believing, or faith, that is what is making the distinction. That is what is making a separation between those who are set apart and those who are not. Of course, it is possible for us to say that we believe. This, however, does not make us a saint. And why not? Because that faith, that is not the foundation, but faith is actually the fruit. Thus, faith, that is something that is flowing out. Flowing out of what? Flowing out of election. Faith, something that is given to the church in their internal calling. Thus, when the Lord is setting them apart in this life, not only set apart in election, but now set apart in the time, and when they are called forth from spiritual death into spiritual life, then they receive from God the gift of faith. Thus, those who are not set apart do not receive the gift of faith, and those that are set apart do receive that gift of faith, and therefore faith is in itself a distinguishing mark of those who are set apart. An evidence of new life. Not the only evidence, but one of the evidences. As we have also spoken of the warfare, that is also an evidence. These saints, we read, they have a certain communion. Communion. What is that? When is it so that persons have communion? We have communion when we have something in common with one another. Not necessarily many things in common, but we need only one thing in common in order to have communion. We know that when Paul went to Corinth and that he met Aquila, that there was in a natural way communion. Why? Do you know, children? Because Aquila was a tent maker. And what was Paul? He was also a tent maker. And therefore, Paul and Aquila, they have something in common. And when we have something in common, then we have something to speak about. And there are things that we understand of one another. And so in a natural way, it may be with you also that there is one boy or one girl in school. You say, I have something in common with him. There is something in his life. There is something in my life that is just the same. And, Mom, we can talk to one another so easy because he understands me. And so it is in this life. There is communion. Then we need only but one thing in common, and we may have such a natural communion. Our article does not speak about a natural communion, but our article speaks about a spiritual communion. And our first point, that is, the basis. What is now the basis of the communion of the saints? What is it that the saints, what God's people, have in common with each other? First, they say, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ. Thus, our instructors point to that thing that is the basis of that communion. That thing that they have in common one with another, that they are members of Christ. They are not members of Christ because that they believe. No, in fact, it is just the opposite. We heard they believe because they are members of Christ. They believe because they are regenerated by God. They believe because they are engrafted into that living vine, that believing, that faith that is a gift that is flowing out of their election. On the other hand, and that is a mystery, it is actually through that faith that they are becoming members of Christ. Why? Because to become a member of Christ, you understand, is a spiritual thing. And we cannot receive what is spiritual except by faith. We receive what is natural in many natural ways. We receive what is spiritual by faith. Therefore, the apostle says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And by this faith become, we read, partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. The riches and the gifts that are in Christ, being spiritual riches, are received by faith. What are those riches? Those riches are so many, and they are so great, that they are not able to be enumerated by us in just a little time. And those riches are, and those gifts, they are of a great magnitude and importance, more than everything in this life. One of those riches and gifts is justification. That is, that I am enabled to stand before my judge. That my sin that is no longer held against me, but that it is written on the account of the Son of God. And that I receive the fruit of that prayer of Stephen. That my sin is not held to my charge. Thus, justification, what a rich gift. Sanctification, another gift. To be washed, to be cleansed. To be made holy. To have that beginning of, that small beginning even of obedience. Justification, sanctification. Reconciliation. Oh, a great, a rich gift to be reconciled unto God, a spiritual gift that must be received alone through faith. Justification, sanctification, reconciliation, a complete redemption from all sin. Thus, partakers of Him and all His riches and gifts. Those gifts that entire church has in common. What does that mean? They are not given to one and not unto the other, but they are given alike unto each and every one. That means everyone receiving the entire, the full salvation that is to be found in that Son of God. Yes, in a natural way, one may receive more gifts than another. In a natural way, also in the church, one may receive one ability, another a different ability. Paul may plant, Apollos may water. Thus, he has given some to be apostles and teachers and evangelists, pastors. He has given different gifts in a natural way to each one. But when it comes to the spiritual gifts, then it is not so. Then there is no greater and there is no lesser within that redemption of the church, but everyone, they will receive the complete justification. Everyone will be sanctified. Everyone will receive reconciliation and a complete redemption. Thus, that church, they have something in common with one another. And that which they have in common is to be found in Christ. This then becomes the basis, this then becomes the foundation of their communion. It is by this that they are united, that they are become one body in Christ. It is by this foundation that they are called brethren, brothers of one house. And outside of this foundation, being members of Christ, there can be no communion. Why not? Because we are self-lovers, we are haters of God, and we are haters of one another. And that true love that we have for our fellow man, that is a love which is actually flowing out of the love of God. Thus we have first the first table of the law, love to God. And next, the second table of the law, that is the love to my neighbor that is flowing forth out of that love to God. That union, that true spiritual union with my fellow man, is a union that is flowing out of the union with Christ. It is alone because He is the head, and that there is one head, and that the members can all be in union and communion one with another. Thus, this fountain and this foundation that is in the first place necessary before that we will know anything of that communion of the saints. Thus, where does it begin? It begins in regeneration. It begins in that planting of faith. Because then I begin to believe. No. Not that then Christ, as the mediator, is the object of my believing. No, but then faith itself is planted. And then I experience something in common with my fellow man who also believes. Because now there is a common understanding. And those that begin to believe, they begin all to believe that same thing. Because they are taught the same lessons by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And when they begin to believe, then they begin to speak in that same language. They begin to understand one another because they also believe. They begin to understand God's servants. They begin to understand God's people, the Old Testament, the New Testament. They begin to understand that holy word of God. No matter what the circumstances, then that people all begin to believe that they are a sinner before God. No matter what the circumstances, and they all begin to believe the wretchedness of their own heart. They all begin to believe that they are guilty in the sight of an all-knowing God. That we all begin to say with David, I have sinned against the Lord. Then they receive the same saving impressions of God. No, maybe not to the same extent. And yet as they feel something of that majesty of God. Of the righteousness of God, of the holiness of God, then they come to stand in that same awe of God. It is a people who together they understand what that prodigal says. When he says, I will arise and I will go unto my father. It is a people who understand what that centurion said when he says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Thus we see how that from the earliest point of that new life, when that faith that is planted in the soul, that here is now the beginning of that blessed communion. All seeing the same thing. That I am outside of that favor of God. All learning the lesson of their need, of their poverty. One in their desires, in their longings. For that true and for that living God. Oh, who is there in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. All one in their impossibility. Oh, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, oh Lord, who shall stand? All one in their agreement of the righteous judgments of the Lord. All understanding that thief, we indeed justly, and we receive the due reward of our deeds. One in their warfare, one in their failings, one in their disappointments. To say, O wretched man that I am, a people that are speaking everyone that same language. not strangers of the temptations of Satan himself. All this will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh, then they all are taught by that same Holy Spirit, becoming one in their need also, in the time of the Lord, in their need for a mediator. Then they begin to understand one another, in their need for a Savior, one with the daughters of Jerusalem, in their ignorance of Him. And when she is crying out to that bride, "What is thy beloved? More than another beloved, that thou should so charge us." Crying out, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" One in their ignorance of that second person of that divine Trinity. One in their need that he would be revealed to me, that the Lord would show him to me. One in their seeking of him. Oh, whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? One in their desire that they may receive a little crumb from the table of the Master. One in their desire that they may be able to just touch the hem of his garment. Together mourning the hiding of his face, that he is standing behind our wall, that we cannot see him. Oh, that communion of the church that is based upon a common ground, that is the ingrafting into the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that the condition of that people is always the same. Not that the leadings of that people are all the same, as if they are all led at the same time, as if they are all led just as far and as deep as one another. No, they do not all sing at the same time. And therefore, all they ought to sit with one another. Thomas, he could not say with the rest, "We have seen the Lord." There are not all of them that can say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." They cannot all say with the bride, "He is mine and I am his." And yet he is the head and they are the body. And those members, they will feel and they will experience something of that communion by that same teaching of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, being members. That is, to be made partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. A partaker. Young people, if you will marry, then you become partakers. You become partakers of the riches of one another. If one of you is very rich, then the other receives all those riches also. And if one of you is in debt, then the other is also now a partaker of this debt, because you become one. So it is. When that church becomes a member of the body, of whom Christ is the head. We read in God's word that it is as a spiritual marriage. And that bridegroom, he has such great riches. And a bride is all debt. So that that bride is receiving in that moment of that ingrafting everything out of that hand of that bridegroom.
What does that mean? That speaks about the imputation of the riches and the gifts that are in Christ unto his church. What does that mean? Isaiah says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That means all the sin of that church that has been laid upon that bridegroom. And on the other hand, all the merits of that bridegroom, they are now bestowed upon that bride. Thus there is a basis, thus there is a foundation for the communion of the saints. And they may feel it. They may experience it. Because when those two travelers traveled on that way to Emmaus, oh, then they were men that even were irritated when there would be a third one among them. Why? They thought he will not understand. But they understood one another so perfectly. Oh, what a love and communion was between David and Jonathan. Oh, what a communion was between Mary and Elizabeth. A spiritual communion so that that babe that is leaping in the womb in all the troubles, in all the sorrows, in all the persecutions, but also in all the joys and in all the refreshments, to gather that church learning the blessedness of that one-sided, free, and sovereign grace for the chief of the sinners, without money and without price. All that is the matter in which that church may especially receive the communion of the saints and all the impossibility from their side to receive everything from the side of the Lord and to experience what the lepers and the blind and the deaf and the dumb may experience in the days of the sojourn of the Lord Jesus here upon this earth, so that the song of that church, that will be one song to the praise and to the honor of a triune God forever and forever. The basis, the foundation of the communion of the saints. And then our fathers speak about its practice. But let us sing first from Psalter 88. 1, 2, and 3. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. When in distress on him I called, he to my rescue came. All stanzas of Psalter 88.
Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. The Lord Jesus says that where much is given, much is also required. And when we have been given the greatest blessings, the greatest things, the riches and gifts that can be received, then how much is also going to be required of us. Thus, it ought to be within that church of God that those riches and those gifts, they should be used in a desire for the salvation, for the advantage of my fellow man in this world. No, we are not all called to the same task. Not all called to be a minister, to be an elder, to be a deacon. Some apply the Great Commission also to the entire church, that is, to the church in general. But being called to preach is evidently, out of God's word, a special calling. We need to be called, we need to be sent by the Lord. But then it also ought to be, as our fathers say, readily and cheerfully. That was not so in the life of Moses. At the time that the Lord had sent him out, may also be that we are lawfully called in the midst of the congregation to an office in the church. And that is so insurmountable that we have no freedom to take up that office. That is, congregation from our side, at least, understandable. But the Lord is faithful who calls to an office. And those gifts that are necessary for an office are not given beforehand, but they are given at that time that it is necessary for their use. And therefore our fathers speak also of this, readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts. They are not all the same. One is greater, one is less. One is in a different capacity. And yet, as the apostle says, every member of that body that is necessary. But we are not all called to an office, and yet our instructors say, everyone, their duty to employ their gifts to the advantage and salvation of other members. Thus, it is also the duty in the private life of God's children, each one to use his ability and his gifts. What does that mean? Does that mean that they are to go from door to door in the neighborhood and speak and to hand out tracts and etc.? No. No, but we all have a life in this world. And in the midst of our life in this world, we come in contact also in a natural way with other persons in this world. Also, our lifestyle, the things that we do, the things that we wear, the things that we speak, they all speak in the midst of the world and may be an advantage to other persons in this world. Especially when they may say, that is now a peculiar person. Why? Because that is a person
that does not seem to be so connected to this world, that does not seem to be so concerned about this world, that is actually as a stranger in this world, as a pilgrim in this world. How does that not speak in the midst of the world in which we live? Why is it in general so quiet? In general, because it is so very poor with a true church. And when there is a lack of a close life, then their outward life, that does not show so much good. But the magistrate in his office, the worker in the field, the mother in her family, in her associations, all a duty. People of the Lord, when Moses came from that mountain, then we read his face did shine. Why? Because he was in the immediate presence of the Lord. And that was seen. What does that mean? That means the way to the fulfillment of that duty is to seek the inner chamber. Because it is in the inner chamber where the Lord is giving the matters that I may speak unto my fellow man. Every duty is a burden when it does not come out of the burning of our heart. But you could not keep Mary from going to see Elizabeth after the Lord had appeared unto her. Oh, then you could not keep them from one another, that they may experience together that blessed communion of the saints. But there was not so much communion of the saints between Paul and Barnabas when that contention was so sharp between them. So it is also sad when it is occurring within the church of God. The blessing of the Lord cannot rest upon it, although the Lord used it for their separation and for the further spreading of the gospel. How different it was when we read they had all things common and the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord bless them. Parents, how is it in our own relationship? We speak about communion. It is a communion between the bride and the bridegroom. And when there is communion between the bride and the bridegroom, then there is also communion between the body, the members of that body. So it is in our own families. Or when there may be a blessed communion between a man and his wife, even in a natural way, when there may be a blessed communion, not a squabbling with one another, but a blessed communion, then this is felt in the whole family. Also between the siblings, brothers and sisters. How is it in your family, children? Or is there a fighting with one another? Or is there a blessed communion with one another in your family? Oh, how glad you may make your mother and your father when there may be such a communion. And so it is, Church of God, when there also may be such a communion within the church, then that is pleasing unto the Lord. May the Lord give the fear of his name in our families,
that we may experience a communion, not only in a natural way, but that that fear of the Lord may be that basis, the foundation, that we may be given to understand the spiritual matters that may be experienced in our hearts, that there may be a blessed communion also of spiritual things, and that is just a little bit, a little taste of heaven upon the earth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou wilt bring them into that blessed communion, where there shall be no disagreement anymore, and when the understanding that shall be so full of thee and of one another, and when that a song shall be sung in harmony to the glory of the triune God, O look on us. Remember us with our children, that we may not be strangers of that communion. And wilt thou be with us in the rest of this day? And wilt thou give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy? Remember all those that do serve in thy church, wherever they may be in this world. Help us in the week to come, each one in the labors of our hands. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 425 stanzas 1 and 2. Unto the Lord, lift thankful voices, come. Worship while your soul rejoices. Make known his doings far and near, that peoples all his name may fear, and tell in many joyful lay of all his wonders day by day. 1 and 2 of 425.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.